Good morning, church. I deem it a blessing to stand before the church today to speak to you. I don't take it for granted at all. And I want to extend my appreciation to the leadership, to Pastor Aaron and Pastor Glenn, who I've come to know so deeply, and to many of you I've met and spoken to. And I thank God I have this opportunity, and I know it's just a short time, but in some circles, 25, 30 minutes is just an introduction, you see. But I'm being mindful, and I pray you get blessed. I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will challenge your spirit and speak to your inner person, inner man. I thank God for my family. If it goes well, thank my wife. And if it doesn't, she dragged me here. I must say, she dragged me here. I'm like, Marianne, where are we? What is this? But I've come to love Potsdam and the people. I've come to make this place my home. I find joy in the mowing now and the cutting down of the trees. And I think each morning I wake up, I'm like, let me go to the gym in my backyard. Yeah, thank you. Right. So we will be talking about identity, who you are. And it's because Pastor Beverly, I call her Pastor Beverly in my head all the time. Pastor Beverly preached a message on Deuteronomy chapter 5 some time back, about 6 weeks ago. And just the early stages said, who are you? Find out who you are and do it. I'm like, This is something that has been resonating within my spirit for a very long time, about identity. Because I realize identity is almost a crisis from Scripture, from Genesis through to Revelation. And so this morning I asked you the same question. Who are you? Do you know who you are? It's not what you do. It's not your title. It's not how much you've got in the bank. It's not about your qualification, but who are you? And I want to say that your identity is from God. This morning, I want you to focus on this, that my identity comes from God, and only Him can reveal that to you through encounters, several encounters. I want to pray. Father, I commit every heart, every mind to you, every hearer of your word, that your word will be explained, will be spoken by your spirit through this platform, through other platforms, that people will be aligned to your purpose and your calling. In Jesus' name, amen. So before I start, I want to talk about lies that distort our identity. There are certain lies that distort who we are. And some say, I am what I have achieved. And I want to believe that. I will challenge that to say, what you have achieved is not your identity. It could be an evidence of the identity, but that is not your identity. It is God who gives you your identity. And it is Him who directs you to the activity that follows your identity. Line number two is, I'm what others say about me. Many of us go around to accept opinion of other people, accept what parents say about us, accept the environment, the condition, the situations you go through as your identity. That is a lie. And we see example of this with a guy by name Jabez in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says the mother gave birth to this man in pain. We don't know what sort of pain it is. And so each time the guy was walking around, the name was Pain. Jabez. Pain. Jabez. Pain. And some of us may have had that experience. You've heard something like, oh, you were an accident. We wanted a boy. You are just like your useless father or your useless mother. You are a difficult one. Your sister is the cleverest one. you will never amount to anything. See, when words like this are spoken to you over time, it reprograms your mind for you to think that that is your identity. That is a lie. Some people, by saying some of these things, have programmed other people to form some identity and say, I am no longer a man. I am no longer a woman. This is who I am. That is a lie. Now, Bible said that when Jabez came of age and realized what is going on, I want us to read our first scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. The Bible says, Jabez said, Oh, God, that you will bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand will be with me and that will keep me from harm. It's not a prayer session, so I won't go deep into it. Identity must be realized when you have come of age. There are certain times where you would have to say, no, I've had enough of this. It happened to Moses. The Bible said, and Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, but decided, you need to make a decision about who you are. That's for another time. So, don't accept labels, child of God. Don't. Now, another identity crisis is, I'm my worst failure. Listen, before God, your mistakes doesn't matter. The things you have gone through doesn't matter, because he has a unique perspective and perception about you. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but you know what God used him for. Paul persecuted the church, killing people. Moses killed an Egyptian. Is your mistakes closer to any of these? Yet God used them. We know what David did, and yet the Bible said he's a man after my own heart. Don't let your identity, what you have defined for yourself, the environment is telling you, clutter you from what God actually means for your life. And that is what I want us to go through. Scripture doesn't condone some of these acts, go and kill somebody, or Moses, go and hurt someone. No. Or what David did. God doesn't condone that. But God has a purpose beyond you. And that purpose, as we come to know, preceded your birth. And that's what you need to know. The fourth lie is, I'm not enough. Sometimes we compare ourselves with others. We compare ourselves with our colleagues. I'm not enough is a comparison language. I'm not intelligent enough. I'm not like this person. Listen, God created you in his uniqueness. You see, the word holiness is not sometimes the way you think. Holiness is set apart, something that is so unique that there's nobody like that. That is why the Bible says, I am God, I am holy, there is none like me. The truth is, you were created in his likeness, in his image, to walk in his holiness. So there's nobody like you. Listen, scan through the entire 8 billion or 9 billion people on the surface of the earth, and there's nobody else like Akim here in Potsdam, New Hope. There's nobody like Ralph. I wish you would realize that you are so unique. God has handpicked you for an assignment and a purpose, and that is what I pray you get to see. You are so unique. There is no one like you. So don't compare yourself with others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, our second reading, it says, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. This morning, I want you to understand that at the end of your life, one thing will only be required of you. It's not how much money you acquired or how many degrees. You stand before God and God says, ha, 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 you had a PhD, well done. Or you had a 5 million bank balance, or you had a 0 bank balance, well done. No, That's not it. He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in what was entrusted you. This morning I pray that you will see what has been entrusted you, so that you would do what has been. So, you will do what has been entrusted you. Now, I also want to say your identity is not your condition. Some people, by virtue of not being well or being sick and the environmental, the conditions of their body, seem to think that this is my identity. That is not true either. It is because I know and understand the realities of sickness. But if you say, I am diabetic, for example, it's not the same as saying, I have diabetes. They are different. And you come to understand why I'm saying that. So the Bible tells us, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. In Joel chapter 3, verse 10. It doesn't say that deny weakness, but don't allow weakness to be your identity. In another place in Psalm 118, verse 7, it says, I shall not die, but I will live to declare the works of the Lord. There's clear evidence of weakness being admitted by the psalmist, but the intention is to live to declare the works of the Lord. This morning I pray that you would declare to yourself, in spite of whatever is going on around me, I will live to declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Your wound may be part of your story. I agree. Your wound may be part of the story, but it doesn't have the authority to change your story. It doesn't. Now, this is the central part of my message. Our identity begins with God. And to understand our identity, let's go back to the Genesis account. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our image. You see, how I see this thing is this. God, the triune God gathered, met, and I have evidence of it in the Psalms, and decided every single human being ever to come into humanity would have to be created. And this is what Ephesians chapter 1:4 tells us. It says that we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Who are those we? It's you and I. Every single individual was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. So Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5 gives us a hint. And let's see it. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Listen, before your parents met, God knew you. When was that? It was before the foundation of the world. And so in another account in Ephesians 2:10, the Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Listen, we are talking about identity here. God, the triune God, know us or knew us before we were formed. He even had some amount of work for you to do. God has prepared some work for you to do. And we come to understand what that works is. They are prepared in advance. There's something God wants you to do. You see, so your true identity is from him. And it's about time we find out what this is. Now, to start off, let's go back to the burning bush story. Exodus chapter 3. Moses, we know this man and the troubles he had, living in Pharaoh's house as with a title, a royal title, and yet refusing to have that title to have influence on him. He's been through all sorts of things, running away from Egypt, and then approximately 40 years into the wilderness, becoming a dad, becoming a shepherd for 40 years. Now coming back, and then has this encounter. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. God appears to him. And then he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out? Who am I? It's a question. But then, notice something. God didn't argue with Moses and say, oh, you failed. You've done this wrong. You've done that. You have a leadership potential. But he simply says, I will be with you. This morning, I want you to understand that God is with you. You probably haven't realized that, but you will realize in a moment. Your identity cannot be understood apart from the presence of God. And we have God with us all the time. We just haven't given it a thought. Your breath. Your breathing. That is God. He is with you. You see, sometimes answers to our insecurity or insecurities stem from the fact that we lose sight of the fact that God is with us. So listen to what God tells him in 3:14 of Exodus. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you may say to Israel. I am has sent you. I am has sent you. Now, generations and thousands of years later, Jesus comes on the scene in John chapter 8, verse 58, and says something amazing. Before Abraham was born, that's the word, I am. Isn't that strange? Before Abraham was, I am. Now, so they understood the significance of this. They understood the meaning of what this man is saying, that he's equating himself to God. But do you know you equate yourself to God all the time without realizing? Because if you ask me who I am, I'll say, I am Ralph. Have you realized I just used God's name? I am Ralph. So when you say, I am, and your name, you are introducing God, God's presence with you. So it's important to be careful what you attach to the name I am. You have no right to say I am useless. I am worthless. I am hopeless. I'm destined to fail. I'm nothing. I can never change. That's a lie. Because when you say, I am useless, you are saying God is. You are attaching negativity, weakness to the name of God. That's what the Bible says. Let the weak, we know he's weak, but he say, I am strong. I hope your vocabulary, I pray your vocabulary will change. Your perception, how you see yourself, those statements, those descriptions, when you repeat them continuously, they reprogram your thinking. And I pray those change. Now, look at how Jesus introduces himself in the popular seven I am statements in the book of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. See, each one comes with, I am God, and then the purpose. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the true vine. I would encourage you to find time and go through these I am statements in your own way. He's not talking about where he comes from. He's not talking about his parents. Sometimes I pity poor old Joseph. Jesus never mentioned his dad. He didn't even call his mom, mom. He never even mentioned where he comes from, that the popular opinion is Jesus of Nazareth. Because some said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? It's not about where you come from, who your mother is, what has happened to you, your environment. It's about what God says about you. This morning, you are a special entity before God. Where you were born may influence your story, but it does not have the authority to cancel God's calling and purpose and election for your life. The Bible says, be careful to make your calling and election sure. Think about it. Now, so who do men say I am is a question Jesus asked in Matthew chapter 16. Now, some said, you are the Messiah. Some say you are Elijah. Some say you are a prophet. Four proclamations about him. And the scripture tells us that none of them was correct. None of them was right. It is because It is coming from men. But in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Peter answers, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, in that same breath, in that same moment, Jesus says to him, you are Simon, Jonah, for this has not been revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. Now, if we had time, we would look into the meaning of names and all that. But Simon actually means a rock, or Kephas means a rock. All throughout his life, he has been known as Peter. Peter means weakness. But when God revealed who Christ is to this man, Peter, Christ reveals who Peter is in him. Listen, God, through Christ, wants you to see how you are in him. By you, one shall chase 1,000, and two, 10,000. The nations can change through one of us, or all of us. God has an assignment for each and every one of us that if we should rise to the occasion, the world will change. And that is what I am hoping you get from this message. That there is a calling and an election on your life. You are far more than you think or see yourself to be. See, so when we see God or we see Christ the way he is, he makes us see who we are in him. Now, I want you to see these encounters and these, encounters of various people who came to God or who came to Christ. And see how these people's identity was revealed. And maybe you see yourself in it. In John chapter 8, we know this woman who was caught in, and then she was brought to Jesus. Shall we stone this woman or what do you say? Now, to make it short, Jesus asked her, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? In John chapter 8, verse 10 to 11, Jesus says to him, neither do I condemn you. Go now and live your life of sin. Did you see yourself in there? Neither do I condemn you. It's one of your identity. No matter what you have done, you are not condemned before God. Never. Never. We are the ones who condemn ourselves. We are the ones who put labels on ourselves. But God does not condemn you. The person that was created in Christ Jesus was so perfect, I dare to say there's not even sickness with that person. Think about it. You are not condemned. You are brought before him. Grace does not merely remove your condemnation by public opinion. He empowers you for grace and direction. Look at Zacchaeus. We know Uncle Zach. I call him Uncle Zach. He was a tax collector, making a lot of money, overburdening and overcharging the people, living for himself. Now, see what happens. The community formed an opinion and an identity about him. But truly, the man had desire to see Jesus. And so, because of his stature, like that, possibly, he climbed the tree, sycamore tree, the Bible says. So you'd expect that when Jesus got to him, you say, hey, you, sinner, come down. You are condemned. You are a thief. None of that was the first word. Zacchaeus, come down. Today, I will be with you. I'll stay with you. Jesus is not condemning you. I ever wonder why people don't get close to Jesus? Because he doesn't condemn. He never, ever condemned anyone. So, he comes down, and listen to what happens. Jesus says to him, today salvation has come to your house. But most importantly, the man changes with enlightenment and say, herein and now, if I have robbed anyone, I will pay back in fourfold. Listen, as I keep going, you will see that the man is a tax collector, all right, but it's by the revelation of who he is, and the revelation of who he is that Jesus told him he is a son of Abraham. He is a son of Abraham. That is one identity issue. You are a son. You are a daughter. Are you able to see yourself that way? And that you are not condemned. You are welcomed by the Father. So straight away, he moves into the actual calling, helping people. The calling is not for himself to amass wealth, but his real identity is finding who he is as a son of Abraham and helping people. So now, he's still got the money to the extent that he's able to give four times back anyone he has ever cheated. That is your identity. You are called to people. You are called to change lives. One woman comes and she has a hunchback for 18 years. The synagogue rulers were debating whether it should get well or not. The society actually doesn't care about you. What they care about is they being in whatever position they are. But the Bible said this. Listen to Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 16. Ought this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, be loosed from her bonds? Look at the word there, daughter of Abraham. Jesus never even diagnosed her situation, but called her daughter of Abraham. This morning, I hope you'll be able to say to yourself, I am a daughter of God. I am a daughter. I'm accepted. Look at the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, she comes, and the Bible says, had this encounter with Jesus. The dialogue goes. So we know that story pretty well. But it got to a point where identity is revealed. That, listen, you are not even, this man you are with is not even your husband. Live your life of sin. The Bible says, she ran. She left her pot, the jar. The reason why she came, she left it behind and ran towards people now. Come and see a man who told me anything I ever did. I think we've said about Gideon before. Gideon saw weakness in herself. Gideon thought she amounted to nothing. I am the weakest. I am this. Straight away, the angel of the Lord did not condemn her and say, oh, what are you doing here and how weak you are and how frail you are. He says, you are a man of valor. God sees you the way different from the way other people see you. God sees you different from the way the environment has labeled you. This morning, I pray that you would be strong in your inner self. Challenge every identity and every label that has ever been laid on you. He says to him, Gideon, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. This morning I say to you, the Lord is with you, you mighty woman. The Lord is with you, you mighty man. If you rise and ask the Spirit of God who dwells in you, you'll be amazed what you can do for the world. In Isaiah, we know that he encountered God. And I've chosen these scriptures because I want you to see a common thread in them. The man now moves from, I am unclean, to here I am, send me. When you see your identity, you see who you are, there is a sending that goes with it. When you see who you are in Christ, you are forced to go and speak for people, to speak to the nation, to solve problems. I'm not saying everyone would come on a platform like this and preach. That is a higher calling. That's what Paul says. But there are other callings. And we come to that. We see Paul of Tarsus, who was persecuting and destroying the church, doing all kinds of things. He's a zealot on the road to Damascus. We know that. But the Bible says, God revealed himself to him and say, you are my chosen vessel. I will show this man how much he has to suffer for my name. But listen to the definition when he was speaking in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. You see, womb, occurrence before the womb. I've given you about three or four quotations on this. Rebecca had this issue when two people, or she felt there's a struggle in her womb. She goes to Genesis chapter 24. She goes to this place and prays about what is happening. God said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two people are in your womb. Listen, you preceded your coming to earth before the womb experience. So look at your existence, your identity from that side. So identity produces something I've called movement. Because when the woman caught in adultery saw her situation, Bible said, the Lord said, go and sin no more. The man delivered from demons said, go home and tell how much God has done for you. To the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. The story tells us that our identity comes with a movement. Now, as I draw towards the conclusion, I want to say your identity will outlive you. You see, so if your existence is such that, oh, let me do this and let me do that just for myself, live comfortably and all that, then I tell you that is just an ambition. But if your identity, discovery, and the things you need to do is such that, let me pass it on to the next generation, that is actually a call from the Lord. And Paul spoke to Timothy about his faith. He first said to him, your grandmother Lois had this faith. It was passed on to your mother Eunice, and now you have it. You ensure that it is also passed on to your hearers and their hearers. Fourth, fifth generation must know about you. God wants your life to be built such that when you are dead and gone, your name is still remembered. Listen to what Jesus said. You are badly mistaken. But God is not a God of the dead. He's the God of the living. He was talking about the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. In God, in Christ, there's no death. In Christ, you could be gone, but your name will be mentioned as if you are still alive. We talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as if they are alive today. We talk about Paul as if he's somewhere in Africa. Your life will be remembered when you grab hold of what God has called you to do and begin to run with it. Jesus said, let her alone. For what this woman is doing or has done to me, pouring oil on my tears on my leg and wiping with pouring oil on myself. She'll be remembered wherever the gospel is preached. Do we even know her name? Title doesn't matter here. I pray that you will rise to the occasion, the challenge, that you have an identity in God and find out what this calling is, what this purpose is, not the environmental labels. Titles are good, professor, doctor, lawyer. They are brilliant. I don't deny that. But if our titles is such that, oh, I'm a lawyer, I earn half a million or half a 1 million a year, then unfortunately, it doesn't go far enough. But if your title as a farmer, like Daniel, I know he's a farmer, but if Daniel will be able to say, I feed families, I bring wellness to people. If you are a scientist, I know one of us, I've forgotten her name, I think Tisha, I love her work. She works with the telecommunication industry. So if she's going to work, if she's not looking at her title and is now thinking that I need to make people calls available to people, the network okay for people, think about people. That is a call from the Lord. You see, so I can give you two or three examples even from scripture. Moses thought he was a shepherd over sheep. Do you know what God's purpose was for him? You'll be a shepherd over people. Peter thought to himself, I am a fisherman. What did Jesus say? You'll be a fisher of men. Paul thought he was defending the faith from the Pharisaic point of view. God says, no, 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 no. You defend my people from my point of view. What have you been called to do? So, I want to end by asking you, who are you? Who are you? Have you found out who you are? To find out this person has to be an encounter with Jesus. So all throughout scripture, from the Old Testament, I know you may say Jesus is not in the Old Testament, but he says before Abraham was, I am. He said to Moses, I am that I am. That I am is all throughout in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one who encountered Joshua. He's the one who encountered Gideon. He's the one who encountered Isaiah. And if you want to know, that is John chapter 12, verse 41. It says, when Isaiah saw him seated on the throne. It's one of my identity Trinitarian philosophies I have, that Jesus is God. Because he's the one Isaiah saw on the throne. And that is clearly evidenced in John chapter 12, verse 41. You have been called to serve people. You have been called, not condemned. And I get most of my inspiration and understanding even from singing. Sometimes I put a song that is about identity on for 3 days. My kids will tell you, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. There's a song, another song says, God is so good. You know that song? God is so good. God is so good. Is so good. And I sang that because of these things. I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved. In Jesus' name, highly favored and anointed, filled with his power for the glory of Jesus' name. You see where I'm going? It's the refrain in that song, the truth in that song, is what must sink deep down in your spirit. And as you do that, the Bible says it is the reprogramming of the mind. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewal of the mind. In so doing, you will be able to know the good, the perfect, acceptable will of the Lord. Will you rise to this challenge? As I invite the music team to come, and I see a number of these songs in there, there are truths that might be sung over you, that you must declare over you in order to reprogram your thinking. Remove you from identity issues and ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And the Lord will say, I've got people ready to listen to you. God wants to change the world through you. Will you be ready? The Lord bless you.